It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
My name matters. It is not getting the not being treated with the respect that it deserves from De Stoop and Edmund.
I put Edmund on probation, and he seems to have come good. He seems to have got the message, and he understands that this is a high profile segment, and there are others beating down the door, wanting to get involved.
There's a couple of young blokes around the joint. Link Continental, very keen to have a crack at it. Even the Rod. Rod himself would like to step up and have a go.
Benny Lyon,
itching to be part of it. Mm. These young blokes around the SEN establishment.
Looking for an opportunity.
And some of it.
So the work they've been doing in the
back rooms.
The back rooms suggests
strong.
That they're ready.
Absolutely, they're
ready.
And if a couple of these front liners, like De Stoop and Edmund, don't lift, they could find themselves on the outer very, very quickly. And so much so that Monday Matters now has a sponsor. Core Staff, bringing you Monday Matters, your trusted recruitment partner across Australia. Sam Edmund is here, been filing bollocks. I'll always like it when a journo runs around an office or into a studio with the phone on his ear.
I was going to say absence makes the heart grow fonder, and it does. So with that as my backdrop, I'm just head over heels in love with you two, and it's a great pleasure to be here.
Who are we
it's
on
been
the,
a while.
Who are we on, well, no, it's been noted. Who are you on the phone to?
Oh, Andy.
Oh, you can't reveal?
Right. I can't reveal my source.
See, Judd.
How's that been working out for you too, by the way, when you've had exclusive stories needing confirmation? Because you unless you get them confirmed.
We like to be thorough.
Okay.
But then occasionally, such is the eagerness to be thorough, you think, could you be less thorough and roll the dice? The great Mike Sheehan said to me once, actually, maybe upon his retirement, he goes, I hope I'm not saying something I shouldn't say here, by the way, Uncle Mike, so I apologise if you're listening. But he said he was never really quite 100% on the biggest stories he went with. He said there was always just that 5% of doubt or 5% chance that it could be wrong. And, geez, I can relate to that now. But it doesn't make you sleep easy when you do roll with something and you think, please be right, please be right. And then you're sure, but you just – anyway.
Because things can change. No, I think people get a bit sick. Or they say they get sick of media, talking about media.
Yeah,
I suspect not absolutely true, by the way. I think secretly a lot of people do relish that. But I think people are genuinely interested in how the process works from time to time. And when you file, it can be right. But things can change.
Yeah.
Moment you send the thing out to getting commentary from those involved, things can change quite dramatically.
I know you're being a tad mischievous. At the risk of going right off the reservation and way off topic, sometimes you just think, gee, should I have just gone with that? Because you knew it was right, but you just wanted to courtesy call them first. And you might get a bum steer, and then you'd see that it's actually true all along.
Right, on Monday Matters, we're down a man. Julio's on the home front doing what he needs to do, and he'll be back bigger and better than ever. We'll get the four ball back at some stage for Monday Matters for Core Staff, your trusted recruitment partner across Australia. Sammy, why don't you go first?
Well, I just better make sure these are okay with Gazy, because he had a very firm talking to me off the top of the afternoon about just going across his
territory. Very protective.
No, I appreciate that we like to have the spontaneity of it coming together, but given that I did have some prior commitments with our sponsors this morning, that my usual in-depth preparation time has been compromised.
Well, maybe with that being said, perhaps you need to go first every now and again.
Why don't you open up for us, guys?
Yeah, why don't you get them away so you get first look at the Oxford?
No, you go first because you know where I'm coming from.
I'll start off on a lighthearted front.
Okay, good.
Timing matters, and you've got to strike when the timing is right. And membership departments across the league. I've just got to repeat this, are all about living that mantra too. So Geelong are undefeated. They're 5-0. One of only two sides undefeated and playing some breathtaking football. So Cats members this morning have woken up to a very timely email.
I love it.
It is the Premiership membership add-on at a discount. Discounted rate of $210. Priority access to the grand final, if Geelong make it, which Geelong members have been reminded of this morning. Very curious timing. In it comes. You've got mail. Premiership priority access. Sign up now. For a couple of weeks, you get a discounted rate.
Yeah.
Get on board, which I like.
I love it.
You've got to strike when the iron's hot.
Well, one of my assistant coaches for the youth league team that I coach, he 2 weeks ago got it from the Essendon Football Club, and it was $400. And I said, turn it up. You bit extreme thing. You're going to get to the granny. But he paid, and it did. So he's a member, and you could pay an additional $400. Well, that's what he told me. And that that would guarantee a ticket if they make it.
So they
in
must
the grand final.
They must only have a certain number,
and they prioritise those that give a little something.
There must
extra.
Be a shut off of those memberships available.
Hollywood got themselves in a little bit of strife with this sort of stuff. You'll remember, en route to the last grand. This one, worded by Geelong, is priority one access. So it doesn't guarantee a ticket, but they guarantee the best chance of getting a ticket, if that makes sense. But anyway, I just found the timing very,
it's
just
very
genius.
Good on you, Cats.
No,
what do you got, Keith?
Hey. Sometimes, not always, sometimes robbing Peter to pay Paul matters. And we saw it with Isaac Rankin on the weekend. Now, across rounds 1 to 4, he had 21 centre bounce attendances. In the ground 5 in their win, he had 23 and he kicked 3 goals. And it's sometimes you talk about, well, like with Norton. These days, they could put up a very solid argument. We don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. We don't want to send him back. And there's sometimes some logic to that. But sometimes making that commitment and saying, well, we might be compromising what already greatness you're doing or whatever positives you're bringing in order to try and get something else. But sometimes it matters. And I think what we saw with Rankin going into the middle had a very significant impact and turned out to be a very positive influence.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. I mean, he was the difference.
Jake Saligo as well.
Yeah,
he was good.
Telling.
They got some difference makers in there because Dawson, Crouch, Laird.
That's what they have to find.
Wasn't getting it done.
No.
But he still kicked 3.
And they export. And right.
Because he pushes forward.
Yeah,
it creates an awkward matchup.
It helps. And you drop your man coverage. When you're coming out of the midfield sometimes, if you get the centre clearance and it is 6 feet 6 and it's a bit more wide open and there's a bit more space to take advantage of, players like Rankin can find the space. So I think it's something you'll see more of.
Based on that performance.
No, I think you'll see. I think they need to see more of it. Mm. They need to, and they exposed the opposition on two fronts, I reckon. One, clearly Carlton with the 3 players that were out by the end of the game. 2 of them in particular drive. In fact, they all drive the footy forward players. Mm. McGovern more through the air than the other 2 on the ground. But the other 2 on the ground are super important. But if Matthew Nix and his coaching staff, and I'm sure they were aware of what Carlton were down, no Chera in the midfield, Walsh tiring, Cripps fatiguing, and not a lot of ping coming out of Carlton midfield, if they're aware of that, it mattered that they exposed it, and they exposed it brilliantly. I thought it was super coaching by Matthew Nix and his staff.
It looked more like the Crows of last year.
It did.
We haven't seen that for a long, long time. Yep. So you take some great heart going into the Essendon game as well.
So my first one, I don't know how long a conversation we want to have about this, but it really matters that we as a football community, as quickly as we possibly can, and this is on the AFL, come to a clear understanding of what players are allowed to do when they are attacking the footy. When there is a one-on-one ground ball to be contested, we need to know, to the best of the game's ability to explain it to us, what players can do. Again, on the weekend, we saw 2 incidents that, to the naked eye, there's not much difference between them. There's not a lot, I don't think.
Yep, we're talking about?
Butters Banfield and Crouch Carroll.
Yep.
They're very similar. The arriving player turns the hip, hits the opposition player in the head.
Well, Michael Christian told Gerard that one player was making a play on the ball and another player was not.
Do you think that's unfair on both of those players who are attacking?
To my naked eye, I think we're splitting hairs. We're absolutely splitting hairs.
So,
and there might be a very, very subtle difference, but does that trigger a one-match ban when another one doesn't get
signed? How many people watching
well,
that?
More contact, I think, in the
Crouch on Carroll.
Have you had a really close look at Butters on Banfield?
Banfield's head swings back, mate.
No, I know, but
sweat goes flying everywhere.
Before we've gone through it and watched the video, I thought it was marginally. But it is okay, so it's small the margin. It was marginally more dangerous in the when what Jack Carroll went through.
Okay, so I'm with you. Gacy's a little bit different.
Well, I'm sort of with you, but I just think you're splitting hairs a little bit.
There is, to the naked eye, there's hardly any difference. But do you buy into the theory, and it is a conspiracy theory, that the Brownlow medal is...
Cannot possibly be that. That can't be it. The game's always had players ineligible. Big, no, you can't. No,
the high-profile player discount.
No, no. I'd hate to think... I know people want to
enough
push...
people out there will
I know,
say that.
I know. I hate it. I hate the fact that that could even
can't be the case.
Legitimately be considered. Mm. But here we are again. We're all on the same page when it comes to the head. We're all on it. There's no argument. And Kingy's at the
Brownlow end.
Just everybody cops it. You hit a bloke in the head in those incidents, everybody's
out,
right?
What did Kingy say about Butters?
He said he should have got a week. He should have been suspended.
And Crouch should have been suspended for longer.
Yeah, and I think the reason for that, in my opinion, not his, but my opinion, is that you need to eradicate. Prevention's better than cure. So if you're going to penalise the action, even though the consequences weren't necessarily as dire, then maybe there is some merit in what Kingy's saying.
No, I don't disagree. Mm. I fundamentally don't disagree with Kingy at all, and that's where we're at. We understand the trauma and we understand the long-term impact. So I think we're all on the same page when it comes to that. But getting back to my original point, we're going to go to the footy this week, and I don't think we, as the football, the big football family that we're all part of, no matter which part of it we belong to, I don't think we know. I don't think we really know. I don't think Chris O's explanation of the difference between Butters and Crouch makes it clear in our minds as to what is an acceptable play on the ball from the player coming in the Butters or Crouch position. And I don't know. I'm starting to fear now that it is impossible for the AFL to explain it in a clear and understandable manner. And I don't know whether that's good or bad for the game. It's good for the conversation. Like, it creates enormous uncertainty and gives us all reason to go get on the lines
is the explanation,
vent our spleen. But I don't know.
Is the explanation that Butters played the ball where Crouch went the man? Is that...
Just watching it again here, Butters doesn't even touch the ball, though, Gazy. He bends down to touch it but goes right over the top flushes
I'm talking
it.
About in a general principle that Andy's saying, the rule. So if that...
Yeah, we've always been told that. This is the Peter Wright example. Yep. Again, a different incident. Yep. But if the ball is your objective, and Michael Christian said this morning, then impact is irrelevant. If the ball is your objective, then fine. But my contention with this is, how can one be a week and one not?
That's
when they look almost identical.
That's my whole point. If you're saying that Butters' objective is the footy, how can you say that Crouch's wasn't?
Crouch is bending over in a very similar pose.
He's turning to his side, which is what we're asked to do. Like, he's not barreling into the bloke front on. He's not bumping the bloke and then going back to the footy. I think they were both. Right on the cusp. Right, I think if they both had got a week, would anybody in the world of footy been up in arms about it?
Oh, I don't think so, because Butters, the margin for
this is the point.
What that happened and what potentially could have happened if it was just marginally to the right, could have been catastrophic.
Sam, what would people you know the way people react to these things better than us? If they both got cop a week for those incidents, are we having the conversation?
I think it's less of a conversation.
Are people furious about Zach Butters getting a week for that act?
Possibly, but I think now there's confusion as well as some outrage.
Yeah.
Whereas at least it'd be uniform and consistent. We're going around in circles. I just can't see a great deal of difference between the two of them. You need to get to a break?
We'll get to a break if you want.
Oh, just a quick one.
Right.
I want to ask you if this matters, actually, because I can't make up my mind.
Right.
Did Kyle Langford snubbing Jake Stringer in the goal square matter? No. Stringer dirtied right up, and Zach Merritt told us on Crunch Time that he felt the need in the moment on the field to speak to both players just to make sure that everything was okay and nothing was going to fester. So the captain himself was motivated enough to address it in the moment. Small things, you know, he won the free, Jake Stringer. So he's there clearly asking for the ball, doesn't get it. Langford saw him. Had time to think about it, stacks of time to think about it, and burned him massively.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
Well, I don't think it does, because the extra handball, the extra possession, even though it is an absolutely straightforward one
could
at AFL, he could have missed the handball. The goal could have gone begging. Stringer could have fumbled the handball. Goal goes begging. Langford takes the responsibility. If he doesn't kick the goal, then he's got a problem.
Mm.
You think it does matter?
Oh, I thought it mattered in the moment, but long term, I'd like to think not. But I think definitely it mattered to Jake Stringer. Your good body language was the giveaway.
Okay, well, if it matters to him, then it does matter. Because ultimately, in that play, it's if that is going to alleviate a circumstances, there is greater reward by just doing that if, in fact, he is that. Now, only internally do you know the personality of the individuals and saying this is how it is. But as far as an overall team principle, who gives a rat?
Surely.
But if
I agree with that. Yeah.
If it's going to matter to the individual, then yes. And that's where knowing the personalities, knowing the individuals to make sure everyone's on the same page in those instances where there is no – if you are not capable of handling that and catching it properly
and kicking it,
you're in the wrong league.
I completely get
so
it. But Harry Mackay took a mark last week, turned to run into the open goal, and the ball just fell out of his hands.
Don't handball to Harry.
So things can happen. Funny things happen in the game of footy. Matt Owies is running into a goal the other night,
stubs his toe
and misses from 11 metres out.
John Dorotich move.
That's right. Surely, as we go to the break, surely Kyle Langford and – Jake Stringer. Surely there is no issue.
Surely bread's been broken, if any bread at all, and that's fine.
Surely.
Surely
this is not going to simmer.
It was a blatant burn, as you'll see in the game.
Now, you know more about the players.
Surely.
Would you think the coach would raise that?
Nah.
Would he talk about it?
But Zach Merritt said he needed to.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. That's fascinating. Monday Matters for Core Staff. Ready for a filling career? Join Core Staff, the experts in recruitment solutions. Your future starts here. It's 25 past four. We are here for Berwick BMW. If you're committed to standing out from the crowd, jump into your next Mini at the Berwick Mini Garage. Monday Matters for Core Staff, your trusted recruitment partner across Australia. Andrew Gaze, we are up to you.
I'm going to tell you what mattered. And that was 2023, round 24, Gold Coast v North Melbourne. North Melbourne trailing by 28 points and eventually, with a spectacular comeback, get the win.
Is that the one down in Tassie?
Yes, Bloodstone Arena. And the consequences of that meant that they went from the first pick to the second pick. And based on what we saw yesterday with Harley Reid, this guy is an absolute – we all knew he was going to be great. But I don't know. It's been a while. Maybe trying to think of a better debut on a team that's had some challenges.
Oh, well, recent debut seasons, there's Nick Dacos.
There's been some good ones.
There's Rouse, three games.
First three games.
There's been plenty of good ones.
There has been some good ones.
You said Nick Dacos 20... the best player the game's ever seen.
No, I did not.
You said he'll be the best player ever.
I said his trajectory.
Based on his first year.
I said the trajectory he's on.
Yeah.
He's on track to become the best.
Yeah, so just bear that in mind when you're about to say what you're about to say.
Well, anyway, he had 27 touches yesterday, 7 clearances, and 13 of those came in the third quarter and 5 clearances in the third quarter as well. And he put on a display that that I think demonstrated that one win that they had could eventually cost them dearly in the long term.
You know what I think
that's the reality of it.
Yeah. It's good, fair enough. And there'll be plenty of people who agree with that and lament that fact. But he's turning 19 in a couple of days, Harley Reid. So when I watch him and he's starting to, let's be honest, he's just starting to manhandle grown men out there. And he's doing this in game number 5 or whatever it is as an 18-year-old. It's very hard not to think about what he could be doing at the age of 23, 24, 5 or 6 more pre-seasons under the belt, 60, 80 more games under the belt, the sort of damage that he could be doing for West Coast.
Extraordinary.
It blows your mind.
So his signature at some stage is going to matter big time.
Mm.
Like massive. It's 3?
Mm-hmm.
If we get to towards the end of 2025, the season, and there's still no movement on the Harley routes.
Yeah.
How big's that story going to start to be?
Big. Big. But, geez, he grabbed the logo and he's...
Oh, I understand everything all that. I get all that.
Yeah. So I'd like to think he will sign. But yeah, Andy, if he doesn't...
Remember the time, though, we're talking about, should you win, should you lose, should you... Clearly, they went out and they wanted to win. They wanted to win North Melbourne.
Yep.
Well, what a price they've had to pay. I mean, this could be
so bearing in
one
that
of
in
the
mind,
greatest
bearing
prices
that in mind, so you
for an irrelevant result that with everyone would have forgotten about. There was 4,378 people in the stands. I mean, no one's going to remember that game.
So, Gazy, given the fact they won, clearly they were the better team. So you would have advocate for tanking.
They were 28 points down.
Okay, to answer the question.
But given they were the better team because they won, would you have sit here now and say that they should have tanked?
I say they should have sat here and experimented like hell on potential other things.
Tanking.
Not necessarily tanking.
Not done everything they could to win.
In hindsight, what I saw yesterday, yes.
Oh,
Casey, they've got some very good young players down there in North Melbourne. What about building a culture?
I understand that. But this guy is a potential generational player. Not a very, very... He is beyond a very good young player. He clearly is an exceptional, potential, generational player. Oh,
if his trajectory continues the best of all
correct.
Time.
Okay.
Better than Nick Daigle's.
Yes. No, I never said
has he gone in your excitement levels,
see, Judd.
In your hyperbole levels, no. Has he gone past Nick Daigle's now? Have you still
played
got Dakes?
Five games.
No. But taking on board what you said about Nick Daigle's last year.
No, his Dakes is still on that trajectory.
So you see, but
he's got to continue to grow.
So you haven't dropped off him yet.
Oh,
you
no.
It's not Daigle's out reading.
No, but.
Righto.
Daigle's still. Daigle's still in. Reed entering the conversation.
Just checking. Let's get the news headlines back with more Monday Matters after this. Nice work, Nance. Monday Matters for Core Staff, your trusted recruitment partner across Australia. Scotty Scheffler wins the Masters this morning, his second green jacket in 3 years, on his way to building a formidable resume. Who knows where he's going to be in 10 years' time. Anybody who was watching Thursday, Friday, Augusta time, so Friday night, Saturday night, our time, would have watched Tiger Woods busting his ass to make the cut. Busting his ass. Sweating, in pain. The body is clearly racked with things that don't move the way they're supposed to move.
It doesn't look right.
But he busted his ass to make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now made more cuts there than anyone in the history.
Was that the 24th?
24th straight, whatever the number is. More consecutive cuts made than anyone. Weekend's a debacle. He finishes 16 over. He finishes last. Of those who have made the cut, he finishes last.
Mm.
He is a depleted, limited version of himself. 2019 is a miracle. That will never happen again. Him winning a tournament of any magnitude, never happening again. He can only get himself... Never happening again. He can only get himself up for... I don't know how many tournaments he can play at that level. Hitting the ball that far, that consistently against these guys to win, walking for 72 holes, 10, 11 Ks a day, he can't do it. So, does it matter? Does it matter that Tiger gets himself up for an event like the Masters annually and limps around, even if he doesn't make the cut, limps around for two or four rounds and walking up 18, which is a tough walk. That is up a hill the whole way 18. It's a tough walk at the end of a round of golf. And he's limping his way up to the green. Does it matter?
No.
That's what he looks like when he's getting to the line.
Why would it matter?
Events?
What, tarnish the legacy?
No, it's not the tarnish the legacy. It's because it looks painful.
Sad.
It looks sad.
Well, speaking to people over there, didn't he still not have, if not the biggest, one of the biggest followings over there?
No question about that.
So,
if you're watching him, let's say you went to Augusta for 4 days and you were just watching Tiger. Day one and day two, heroic to get there. Heroic. But then day three and day four, when he's going out early, day four, he's out there before. Most of the, people are putting their chairs down behind him and then going to get something to eat. They're not even sitting there waiting.
Mm.
Are you walking up? If you followed him for that entire round, are you walking around with him going, I love this bloke and I love what he's done for this sport? And at his peak, there was no, even Jack wasn't like him at his peak.
But while he's still around, we can at least still sample the magic. So we're in touch with the magic,
right?
Not
a lot of magic anymore, though.
No, I know. But while he's around, we talk about the magic. We revisit the magic. There's old highlights. Could he? It's the could he. Could another miracle happen that keeps it going? Whereas once he retires and he's gone, then I think that would matter more in a negative sense.
That he's
sense.
Not playing
that
anymore?
That he's done. That's absolutely
okay,
it.
All right. That's why I asked the question.
So while the flame is just, as you say, maybe it's been snuffed out, but in the eyes of some, ever so faintly flickering, it's the hope, I think, that keeps it going. So I would contend that it would matter more in a sad sense right. if he pulled the pin.
No, I think it matters because, even like you say, what was he, 16 over? Or, yeah, he never had a great
finished,
day.
For the guys who made the cut, he finished last.
But you still, if you're a real golf nut and you're aware of his history and you're
we
aware
are, but
of,
if you're a real golf nut, you are. So, yep.
You can still go there and he will still, even in this very, very fragile state because of the injuries that he's got, it seems like he still will show a glimpse. You'll still see a glimpse of it for a hole or a shot. Because he has that creativity. Like some of the stuff that he does, there's still that extraordinary. And you know what? The most important thing I find is, as long as he wants to be there.
Yeah, no, that
as
is.
As long as he wants to be there, we should not let that tarnish his legacy.
No. It's not the legacy.
Or tarnish.
It's not the legacy. Got nothing to do with the legacy. Because the legacy stands no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree if he wants to, but... You've answered the question, and I'm buoyed by it because I love the fact that as a golf fan, we've lived through this era and we've got to see, you know, however many, 20, 25 unforgettable performances, and there's been, you know, 30 shots that he's played that will live in the next 200 years of the Masters when we're watching the replays of, you know, we're going to have all of these great shots and these great moments to remember. But I just wonder whether... the sadness of watching him, how hard it is for him to play now. It's really hard. Like you watch Vijay and Mike Weir and these blokes they're still lithe and they can still swing the club and, you know, it doesn't look painful for them to walk around the golf course, even though they've got no hope of winning. They're past, you know, the past champions course. They're never going to win. A couple of them made the cut. They're never going to win, but it's easy for them to get around the golf course at least. It's not easy for him.
He looked at pain when he was on the putting green.
Mate, there was
and
a
he
day
was just putting practice.
There was
putting.
A day on. I don't know whether it was Friday or Saturday, second or third round. I think it might have been the second round. It was freezing. Like he is sweating. Like there are beads of sweat dripping down his cheeks after coming under his. He's working that hard to just get the thing. Anyway.
The longer the legends hang around, the better for mine.
Is it?
Once they're gone, they are gone. My little opinion. Do we need to get to a break?
No, you can go.
Real cool. Maybe
Let's get to a quick one. No. Let's get to a break. We'll come back with a quick one or a long one from you. 22 minutes to five. And Sam Edmund, Monday Matters, 17 to five. We're up to you, Samuel, son.
Hey, I found this interesting. So Hawthorn's embarking on a quote-unquote bring your mouth guards week at training after a fifth consecutive loss where they just couldn't get their hands on the ball against Gold Coast. Had another shocking first quarter. In fact, they've scrounged a combined 5-14 from five first quarters this year. They're playing catch-up on a weekly basis. Now, Sam Mitchell's blistering press conference contained sentences like this. We should be well past that. We lost every aspect of that game. We're the easiest team to put pressure on. It goes on. It's not good enough. We can't play with the physicality we did tonight. Then we can't expect to be competitive. But does it matter that North Melbourne, who play the Hawks this week and are on a similar development trajectory, didn't also read the right act? Now, North Melbourne and Alistair Clarkson are winless, zip and five as well, an average losing margin of 53 points. A snapshot of Clarkson's press conference went, they're a good side, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're very experienced, we know where we're at, we're a bunch of pups, we can't do anything about it. Yes, the Roos have had a tough fixture to open the season, but is their trajectory so different to Hawthorn's that the messaging should be? Like, we're North of not one, more than four games in any season since 2019. They've received AFL assistance along the way, and theirs is just accept it because it's where we're at. As a fan of both clubs, what would you rather hear? Clearly, you'd rather the former, wouldn't you? You'd rather the bring your mouth guards and pony up because we're going hard. Surely not that this is just, we know where we're at. We've been outmuscled by a bigger group.
Well, I think to put a little bit more context to it, I was going to talk about this as well, and I actually had the audio. Let's hear what Sam Mitchell had to say.
Right.
Oh, I mean, I think the ball, our ball handling, our handball skills. I think we had 35 ineffective handballs out of 100, their pressure was good, but we just have to be better than that. We can't play AFL football against aspiring finals teams and cough up the ball the way we did, lose contests the way we did. You're just not going to be able to compete against anyone the way we played tonight. And that's just a completely unacceptable way to play, and we should be past games like that. that's as bad as we've played in a long time. It wasn't a night for perfect play, and we refused to embrace the contest and just take it, and just take even numbers in front of the ball and give our forwards a chance. And then when we did, we didn't win that contest. So there was plenty of challenges to review. I think we play Sunday next week, so we get an extra day. We've had a couple of six-day breaks, so the training has been on the lighter side, but I think we're probably going to have to ramp a few things up during the week. And if we lose one, if we lose a, we get a corky or something like that, then we probably have to accept that, because if we can't play with the physicality that we did tonight and expect to be competitive.
Wow, that's when you hear, you don't hear that sort of stuff from coaches very often these days.
Not these days. No. And it was interesting because
good on him.
Daisy Thomas, I heard his comments too, and he was a bit uncertain about that, because at the stage of the season, you've got, if you're going to do that type of stuff, he went back to his time at Carlton when they had those bring your mouth guard days, and he did not believe that they got great results.
But he was an established senior player, right? So I reckon there might be established senior players at Hawthorn who may rail a bit privately about that, right?
Mm.
But if Mitchell's talking about his young players, refused to embrace the contest. That they're the five words that stuck out for me there. They refuse to embrace the contest. If he's got young players that he has identified who refuse to embrace the contest, and that is something that is non-negotiable, well, let's see how they go about embracing the contest this week. Mm. And it's very rare. Like, you just don't hear a lot of that. You don't hear a lot of the coaches putting it back on the players. The coaches,
hang on, in fairness though, Andy, he did say, and he did take responsibility.
I'm sure he did.
So it wasn't just that.
I'm sure that's true. Because that's what he's...
I think it's important to mention that, though,
So I'm glad you did. Mm. And I'm absolutely certain that that would be something that Sam Mitchell would have done.
Mm.
But that part there was squarely on the players. I can get them, but they have to embrace it.
Mm.
When the contest is there, they got to embrace the contest. They refused to embrace the contest.
But I think it matters, because it's a conversation. I am absolutely 100% sure he's already had that conversation with the players. They're not going to hear that feedback for the first time listening to the press conference.
Yep. But how's the difference between the messaging from that particular club and then North Melbourne, who's taken a more of a softly, softly, cuddly approach from Alistair Clarkson, of all people, and they play each other this weekend, both winless? It's a massive difference in messaging, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I haven't heard Clarko. I've only listened to, read it and heard what you've said there, so I probably need to go back and have a listen to Clarko's actual press conference. But out of the games this week, I don't know whether you've got the fixture in front of you, but that game is 17-18, and there's always a macabre element attached to these games. But neither of these teams are going to win many games this year. Neither of them are going to play finals.
Round six matters. Round six is huge, by the way. Some massive games in there.
Out of all of the games that have got your eyebrows raised and got your interest levels peaked, where does North Melbourne v Hawthorn sit?
Well, as you said, for different reasons. But when you compare, it's up there, but when you compare Saturday triple header... What about the Saturday triple header? Collingwood, Port, Carlton, GWS, Brisbane, Geelong.
Oh, my God.
What an offering on a
Saturday. And then you got the derby.
And then even Thursday night, St Kilda Dogs is a juicy one as well, given the storylines at both of those clubs.
Derby in Victoria, Link. It might be derby over in your neck of the woods, but she's a derby in Victoria. mate, this is an unbelievable. I hadn't had a really good look until now. This is an unbelievable round.
Monday's more reflective, to be fair, but I couldn't help but look forward to here, because it matters.
That is exciting. Just another one for the umpires, and I mean, the job they've got is so difficult, but it really matters. It really matters that we are 100% encourage them to make a call on the taking of the legs. Unless the rule is now, you are just not allowed to dive on the footy. If you dive on the footy, it's a free kick, right? Do that. If that's what you want it to be, do that. Make it a free kick for diving on the footy.
Well, that'd be a disaster.
So we don't want that. The GWS St Kilda game on the weekend, I think it was Burns. Burns dives on a footy in an act of desperation as they were desperately coming at the Giants late. And Brent Daniels sees the Sydney bloke, and it's not a bang-bang. It's not bang-bang. In footy terms, it's not bang-bang. Daniels has got enough time to go, oh, here we go. Straight over the top he goes. Free kick, GWS, legs taken against Hugh Burns. To my eye, now some people might look at the same incident and read it 180 degrees differently than me, but it was not Burns diving into Daniels and taking his legs. Umpires, please, please, who's ever in charge of this, let them know it's okay for you to try and see the intent of the player going over the top, because there's a lot of cynical abusing of this going on more and more as every week goes by. And I hope we don't get to a point where an act of absolute desperation that isn't putting another player's legs in jeopardy is getting pinged and gets pinged at a critical time of a game because an umpire's just misread the intent of the two players that have been involved.
Hey, James Peatling mattered. GWS rookie list of player out of contract seasons, and he goes and saves the game for the Giants in Canberra. Fantastic. Real gutsy act running back to take an intercept mark. So he's playing game number 29. All three of his appearances this year have been as the sub. He came on for Sam Taylor against the Saints, and he was ready right off the top, and he goes back and takes a crucial mark.
Magnificent.
The anticipation and the nous as well on top of the bravery was fantastic. So well done to him.
No, that did matter.
Coming into work today, I was listening to The Pipe and some of the callers talking about Richmond. The reality of it is, though, talent matters and injuries matter. No, Lynch, Bolter, Taranto, Gibkiss, Grimes, and there's probably
Hopper.
A few other.
Short
Hopper.
Got injured in the game.
Short, yep.
To
Ross.
Think that has a profound impact on the probabilities of getting the outcome that you're looking for. And to, yes, you can have questions about game style or tactics or whatever you want to do. But when you're missing that level of talent, it matters.
Mm.
And it is a valid excuse.
Yes, it is.
On your performance.
Yeah. There's a lot of Jesus and clubs out there carrying deep injury lists. Yeah. A month and a half into the season, there's some clubs that are already looking at, and some of these players are not immediate returners. They're not going to get a clutch of players back, some of these teams, in the next week or two. There's already three or four clubs that are at breaking point when it comes to, you know, the players they can throw out at senior level, Samuel. So injuries are mattering massively.
Massively.
Early in the season.
Yep.
You got a quick one before we let you go?
Scoring matters. Fremantle 2, Adelaide Heartbreakers. 9 points up at the 25-minute mark of both the Carlton and the Port Adelaide games, and they can't hang on. But they don't score, so you're always in the game against them.
Yep.
An impotent forward line, but also still conservative with the ball. And it matters that they're not bold enough. They don't punish turnover, and that's a major flaw. Just incidentally, I think they kicked 9-9 in both games as well.
But you're saying
9-9-63 in both games.
But who's to say that if they weren't playing that way, it might have been the deficit might have been 4 goals against.
Maybe.
Will we see him loosen the belt buckle a bit this week?
Well, you can't win games consistently at this level if you can't score.
Well, let's see
off
if they can do it. Let's see if you can score. You've got the West Coast Eagles at home. It's, you know, at home, obviously, if it's West Coast home game. But let's see if you can, you know, let's go out and kick 15. Do the old Wallsy.
Yeah.
Let's go out there and kick 15 goals. Tonight,
oh, I thought
boys.
You meant circle up and box on.
No. Not that.
Oh.
Good work, boy. You lovely to see you.
Great to be here.
Monday Matters for Core Staff, your trusted recruitment partner across Australia.